The holiest of holiest months has finally dawned on basketball fans. Legends are made through the tears, blood, and sweat of this single 64-team tournament. Colleges around the United States send their best champions, nay, warriors, to spar 5-on-5 on those gleaming, polished hardwood courts for a chance to be the best of the best in all of the land. This archaic tournament can be known as the Big Dance, the Sweet 16, the Final Four, and as I like to call it, LSB, Logo Shooting Buckets. Because we will be talking about college basketball, we found it only appropriate to bring in our resident expert, Joey Capistanio, into the studio. With his help, we will look at college basketball's biggest questions and hopefully try to find some sense in this frenzy. Can Zion Williamson drag Duke to the top? What team will make the biggest upset? Which college stars will get drafted to the NBA this year? And of course, who will be that team of 64 to be crowned supreme? Get your brackets ready, you hoop-loving degenerates. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the NCAA's March Madness 2019.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the
March Madness.
Here's your chance, do your dance at the
March Madness.
All right.
So, Joey, welcome back to the Ball is Life podcast. What did you think of our new March Madness theme song?
Oh, that was everything I could have ever dreamed of, Kevin. That was unreal.
So, you are our resident March Madness expert here. So, we actually have a bracket together, don't we, Joe?
We do, that is right.
And you are a huge fan of college basketball. Why don't you just tell the people, how did you become such a big fan of the NCAA?
Well, I started watching when I was a very little boy. I would always watch March Madness every year. And when I was probably like 6 or 7, I saw Kansas play. And I did not know anything about college basketball at the time. But I saw their mascot was a cool little bird thing. I loved that bird. So ever since then, Kansas was my favorite team, solely because of that reason. and in general, college basketball is just way better quality basketball than NBA. Like, NBA is, they're better players, but it's all ISO ball. And college basketball, like, the environment is unbelievable. All the players are playing for the right reasons. Like, in the NBA, there's some players who are just playing to get, like, max contracts next year, and in college, they're all just playing, well, to win. So, and they all have, like, legit coaching strategies, and they play zone defense, and they play full court defense, and you just get a larger variety of basketball strategy in college.
Yes, I can definitely agree with that. The style of play is definitely very different, and the atmosphere is a little bit more different. These guys are a little bit more concerned about winning than some of your average NBA players.
Yeah.
Interesting. So your first memories are at 6 years old because of a cool Jayhawk, yeah, right?
That's right. I think I just like the colors.
So, is that your favorite team, or like, well, let's just go right into it. For the NCAA's basketball, men's basketball, are the Jayhawks your Kansas Jayhawks? Are they your favorite team?
They are my favorite team. However, they have not been doing as hot as usual this year. For them, their standards are pretty high because they're always a first seed, but I think they're a fourth seed this year or something. Yeah, they're a fourth seed.
Yes.
So, you know, they're doing all right, but I don't expect them to go to the finals. I'm not going to break my heart like that. My other favorite team is Michigan State, though, who I know you are fond of.
Yes, so Michigan State is my favorite team. I have family that's down in Michigan, and so it's either Michigan or Michigan State. I've chosen the better of the two, Michigan State, obviously. Magic, you know, grew up there. Draymond Green. So it is my favorite team. I love them. I want them to win. Unfortunately, I'm not cheering. I My brain, my heart's telling me Michigan State. My brain is telling me Duke University.
Oh, I know. Is going to win. They are so hyped this year.
All right. So I just remembered something, Joey. Before we jump right into this and just talk about March Madness going in about college basketball, we need to give a little bit of an update. We've been away for a little bit of a minute, a spell.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give an update about the NBA. So right now, we are playing the last couple games to clinch seats off in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Raptors have actually made some interesting trades. They've acquired Marc Gasol and my favorite player, Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, you must be very excited about that.
My friends have already bought me a jersey for my present. I am wearing it proudly. A Raptors number 17, Jeremy Lin. Linsanity is in Toronto, ladies and gentlemen.
This has been your dream come true. I remember you preaching that you'd like... I thought you were gonna streak or something if Jeremy Lin was on the Raptors.
I think that is right. And when the weather warms up a little bit, I will go ahead on that promise, make sure that I fulfill it. On other news in the NBA, we also know that Tobias Harris was traded to the 76ers.
Yeah.
So he might be going off there.
That is correct.
Did I miss anything other major in terms of NBA news before we jump into March Madness?
James Harden is still on a tear. I think they're third. Are they third in the West now?
The Houston Rockets?
Like solely because of him? Yeah, I think they're third in the West.
Yeah.
They're absolutely killing it.
I believe.
I think the Raptors locked up the second spot. Milwaukee locked up the first spot. And Boston's most likely in the third spot, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Or, and then it'll be Indiana.
In the East?
For the fourth.
Is Indiana before the Sixers? Wow. I'm really surprised at that, actually.
It's so funny. They're kind of like the silent, like the kid who doesn't really talk much, but then he's getting like good grades and he's kind of like getting to the top of the class, you know?
That's so crazy. Yeah, you never hear anything about Indiana. I guess because they don't have any stars besides Oladipo, who's hurt. But
and he's injured.
That's why I'm so surprised they've done so well.
All right, let's switch gears back to March Madness now. So, Joey, besides the explanation that I gave, the little intro that I gave at the beginning, what is March Madness?
March Madness is a collection of 64 teams put together by a committee. And those 64 teams are broken up into four regions and ranked 1 to 16, and then they all play each other in a one-and-done tournament kind of thing? Or what's it called? Is that round robin? Is that how the format works or no?
I think it's elimination. Elimination? One round elimination, I think it's called.
Yeah, one round elimination. Okay. Yeah, one round elimination tournament until only two remain. Then they battle it out and then there's one champion.
Yes. So this is also kind of more appealing. We want to appeal to you guys, any listeners or the audience, just to check out March Madness in comparison to the NBA. Joey, besides the points that we've made, is there anything else that we could kind of say about March Madness to kind of encourage people to go check it out instead of just your average NBA?
Main thing with March Madness compared to NBA, the atmosphere is absolutely insane. And in the NBA, you know which teams are powerhouses and you have a 7-game series in the playoffs, so typically the better team will always win. But in March Madness, if a low seed has a hot shooting game or just a stroke of luck or just plays unbelievably well and the better team plays a poor shooting game or something, upsets are the most hype thing I've ever seen. Like, March Madness, I live for March Madness upsets. I think last night there were 3 12 seeds that beat a 5th seed, which I think is the first time this ever happened in March Madness history. 3 12 seeds beat a 5th seed in last night. So those were all huge upsets.
It's insane. I would have to agree with that. I'd also have to add on to that like you notice in the stadiums as well, kind of like when you're watching the game, that the crowd really enjoys, wants to see like a Cinderella upset. Like they will encourage that other team to like go as hard as possible so that they enjoy that, which is great. Like people actually enjoy basketball for basketball at that point.
Yeah, they love that stuff.
All right, so like I said before, we've made some brackets, so let's get right into it. Who do you think will make it first in the NCAA's March Madness?
Who do I think will come first? I think
take it home, yes.
I think I have Gonzaga. Gonzaga has been a very strong team all throughout the year. They've had some really huge wins against top-seeded opponents already. Overall, despite the RJ Barrett and Zion hype, I still think that Gonzaga has just as many good players, just not as, obviously not as hyped up names, but yeah, I expect Gonzaga to come on top in the finals.
All right, all right. And if I were to give my opinion, I would ride the Zion, Jay Barrett, Cam Reddish hype train, that is, and say that Duke is going to make it to the finals. I haven't seen Gonzaga's game. That is the only game that I probably haven't seen, and I probably should have. But I saw the Duke game last night. By the way, everybody, we're recording right now on March 23rd, so the first round has already gone by, but we made our brackets prior to that. And Duke playing against North Dakota, insane. They were ahead by 20, and they just pulled Zion, they pulled Cam Reddish. They pretty much pulled everybody except for RJ Barrett because they just wanted him to kind of stat pad. And the game was like, at one point, it was almost 30-point deficit. And then they took off all their starters, and it was just 10 minutes of bench players playing.
Oh, man. Yeah, they are so stacked. The thing with the... Well, the thing with a lot of the top-seeded teams, you'll notice, is that they're just so much bigger than the other teams. Like, a lot of the 16 seeds, like, they'll probably have a 7-footer somewhere, like, a 6'11 guy. But a lot of their, like, small forwards and stuff, they'll be 6'4 or 6'5. But if you look at a team like Duke, they're all just so huge and so, like, thick. Like, Zion's, what, 285 pounds or something?
He's almost like, I think he's almost 300. I think he's like 290.
Yeah.
That is one
so big. And they're just too big for other teams to deal with.
That's thick with three C's.
Yeah. Triple thick. But I would like to point out, in Gonzaga's first game last night, I think they won by like 38.
No way.
They had a very strong showing as well.
Oh, that's very good. That means that there's going to be a lot of competition when it comes to the Final Four, I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah, there will be. I think this is one of the most exciting tournaments there's been in a while.
And Gonzaga, are they better known for three shooting? Are they better for shooting within the paint? Or, I mean, scoring within the paint? What is their kind of their niche? Because, like, for Duke, obviously, we have them dunking so much because of Zion and Jay Barrett, RJ Barrett.
Yeah. They're pretty well-rounded, honestly. They're... Three-point shooting is very good compared to most teams, I think. I think they shoot like 36-37% from three as a team, which is pretty ridiculous because as an individual three-point shooter, that's like a pretty decent clip to shoot at. Like, if you shoot 36%, you'll take an open three every single time you have it. But
yeah.
That's how they're shooting as a team, so you know that they have potential to light up at any point.
That is fairly high for an average-wise. Mm-hmm. I was actually looking last night, because some of my questions later down the line talk about three-point shooting. I noticed that none of the big teams, like the first seeds, have any one player that has above, I think it's 46?
Yeah. No,
40% shooting. 40 for three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Which is very strange.
It's very strange.
I don't know why. There's a lot of smaller teams that have like players that are very good at three-point shooting, but for some reason, some of the higher seeds, they don't. So I think they rely on different types of...
they have a lot of inside game, too. Like, I know Duke, for one, is not a three-point shooting team at all. Like, they can, but they tend to just pound inside constantly and fast break and run the floor.
Yes.
What I like about Gonzaga, their top scorer is a boy straight out of Japan.
No way. Are you serious?
He's averaging like 20 points a game. Now, when you look at him, you might not assume he's Japanese right away, but He is born and raised in Japan and went to high school in Japan, I believe, before he came to Gonzaga. How did they even find that guy? Complexion? No, he is a little dark.
Complexion Japanese. That's like Tennessee has a British player.
Oh, really?
But his name is the Admiral. Or Admiral, sorry, not the Admiral. Admiral something. And
Trap.
He was born because his dad... Trap?
Admiral Akbar.
Oh. No. But his dad was like in the army, and so he was born in London for some reason. And then he came back to the States. So it's like one of those silly kind of like those silly moments. So talking about players, like... We're getting into it a little bit. What players are we to watch out for, Joey, in the March Madness?
I think the most important player to look out for in the March Madness is one of your very own Michigan State boys, Mr. Cassius Winston.
Yes. I really much enjoy watching him. He's a point guard. He plays the one position. Is that right?
That is correct. And he is absolutely killing it this year. I think he's most... I don't know. He'd probably be my pick to get a player of the year this year.
Yes.
But he is carrying his Michigan State team. I think he's averaging 19 points a game or something like that, which is the highest points average for anybody playing under Tom Izzo. I don't think Tom Izzo's ever had a player average over 20 points per game. Ever.
No, I don't think so either. And I do agree. Like, the way that he plays... I think he's just an all-around great. He knows he has a great IQ on the court. He knows when to dish it out. He's great at driving.
Oh, yeah.
Great shooter.
He reminds me a lot of Isaiah Thomas, like his play style. And he looks so much smaller than everybody. He's so quick.
Yeah, he's so small on the team compared to everybody. Like,
I know.
Matt McQuaid, their other shooting guard, I think he's like 6'5 or 6'6, something crazy like that.
Yeah, he's 6'5.
Standing next to his other guard, he just looks so small.
Yeah, I like when you see him drive, he's just like a little squirrel amongst the trees. But somehow he scores very consistently.
Yeah, he's like, it's crazy, and you don't notice it. It's very I don't know. He's not super flashy. He's just very consistent. Yeah. It's very good basketball that he plays.
And he's a very good defender, too. He's very active on defense as well. So, I only see good things from him.
And he also gets a lot of help from, like, his teammates. Matt McQuaid is a pretty good shooter as well.
I know he's one of your favorites.
He's one of my favorites. Xavier Tillman as well is one of the bigger boys that, like, I just see such a good chemistry between Winston and Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's fun to watch that as well. Anybody else you think, Joey, in terms of other teams as well that we should be looking out for?
I guess Zion Williamson.
My boy, the mountain, Zion, goddamn Williamson. I love Zion. I'm not going to lie, people. I'm going to say it right now. Before I go to bed, I try to at least watch one highlight reel of Zion's dunks. It gets me into a nice, relaxed state. I know that the world's going to be fine with Zion. I'm kind of in love with this guy.
I've noticed.
Oh, man. The way that he plays is incredible. The game that he had last night against North Dakota, he had this one play where he intercepted the ball, but he caught it off, so he only had enough to like kind of push it forward. He runs past the guard, like he runs faster than the guard, grabs the ball behind the back, and then lays it up. Like, it was insane, coast to coast.
He's so athletic, acrobatic, just strong. Like, how are you going to stop somebody that mobile and athletic when they weigh 290 pounds? What do you do?
To be completely honest, I would never guard him. I would never.
Yeah.
Like, seeing that, I would... No. Just let him score. It's insane.
You gotta care for your own safety sometimes.
I know. It's literally a train coming at you. So, like, he can dunk. He can shoot. I don't like it when people compare him to other players. Like, people are comparing him to Shaq. People are LeBron. I think he's his own player, to be completely honest. I think he's going to change basketball when he joins the NBA.
He definitely has his own style that I haven't really seen before. Like, I've never seen a lefty this dominant before. Like,
I know.
His shot looks very unique, and he always just drives to the paint, body somebody, jumps in the air, and then he'll just protect the ball with his left hand and just drop it in. And
he's so good at
it's so unstoppable when he does that. He can protect the ball so easily when he drives, when he's in the paint. I think for him, because, well, typically when you transition from college to NBA, the biggest difference players see is the bodies. Like, a majority of the criticisms come from not having an NBA-ready body when they move into the NBA. But this guy has a he's huge. He's so ridiculous.
He could break LeBron. I think he could break LeBron.
He's heavier than LeBron.
He's heavier than almost... I think there's one player, if he were to join the NBA today, that he'd be heavier than.
Who's that?
I mean, he wouldn't be heavier than. He's a center for the Nuggets, I think.
Oh, Jokic?
I can't remember his name. Jokic. Jokic is, yes, slightly bigger. He's almost closer to 300 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, I can see that.
But yes. So I think, you heard it first right here. Ladies and gentlemen, Zion is going to change the game. I'm in love with just watching him. I can't wait to see what he does in the NBA. I want him to make his own name, forge himself. I want people to say, you know what? This kid plays like Zion Williamson. But let's move on to some of his teammates. Because I feel kind of bad for not mentioning how well his teammates do. RJ Barrett, he comes from Mississauga, Canada, Toronto. Have you seen this guy, Joe?
RJ Barrett is not as flashy as Zion, so I don't think he gets as much attention. And he's not like a standout freak of nature. But I think he's a better scorer overall. And he is just an unbelievable basketball player in general. Like, he doesn't do anything really flashy, but he does everything so well. All of his moves are so crisp, and he works really hard on defense, and he can score whenever he wants.
He's also very good at dunking. Like, he can get the height from there. His godfather is Steve Nash.
Wait, is that true?
Is this true? His dad was... RJ Barrett's dad was in the Canadian Nationals team, and he became very good friends with Steve Nash. From that, I guess Steve Nash decided to be his goddad.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So maybe Steve Nash has trained this guy a little bit. I don't know. His ball handling is pretty well.
I never really get that.
So he's also very good. Cam Reddish has been very good as well. Very good shooter for Duke. He doesn't get over that 40%, I don't think.
Yeah, no, none of them do. But
all right, I want to switch gears into some other players just so we can get another couple names. North Carolina, they have two players that have really stand out because they have one of the top shooters in the country. The player that we're going to talk about is Nassir Little first, who's tearing it up. He's another big boy. And then this other guy called Cameron Johnson, who has a 46.5% three-point shooting.
Wow, that is unbelievable.
He's fifth overall in the country.
Oh, man. That is a high percentage.
That's very high.
It's going to be trouble for some team.
We might, This is the only team that I can see being like extreme trouble for the other first seeds, just in terms of their shooting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know many players on that team, actually.
Have you seen anything about Nassir Little or anything? I've only seen a couple mixtapes about him and stuff like that. Nothing too crazy.
I know that Kobe White, I think he's a guard for UNC. He averages about one more foot of hair length than any other player on his team anyways.
Oh, really?
He has a nice afro going.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know who to check out then when you're watching North Carolina. What's his name again, Joe?
When people go to the barber, they're going to be saying, Kobe.
Kobe. All right. For your Kansas Jayhawks.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I did notice that Luke May as well on UNC. He's averaging like 10.5 rebounds per game, which is ridiculous.
Ooh. We got like a rebound king over there. Man, so that will be very interesting seeing how he matches up with some of the other big boys in the league.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to be a big boy.
For your Kansas Jayhawks, we have Quentin Grimes. What do you think of Quentin Grimes? Because you've obviously, I bet you followed a little bit of what Kansas is going up.
Yeah, a little bit. Quentin Grimes is a pretty decent player. He's a decent three-point shooter. I don't know. I don't think he's the best player on the team, but he's definitely, like, everybody on Kansas is good. I think he would be a lot better if he didn't have so many good players around him that steal all of his,
steal all of his what?
Steal all of his glory. But
that's a very interesting opinion.
Like Dedrick Lawson, for example. Lawson, I think Lawson's a better player than Quentin Grimes. He's averaging almost 20 points a game. He's like their go-to guy.
Their goat.
Their goat.
Some other players that I've also been looking up into. So we know that now is the kind of the era where NBA players or past NBA players have had children. And these children are now in university. So two players that we'll talk about. Bol Bol plays for Oregon. And we have Moses... And for UCLA, we have Sharif O'Neal, which is Shaquille O'Neal's son. And Bol Bol, of course, is Manute Bol's son. So have you seen them play? Have you heard anything about them?
I watched a little bit of the Wisconsin-Oregon game last night. Another huge upset, because Oregon was a 12th seed. And Wisconsin was also a 5th seed. And I had them going pretty far in my bracket. But now I cry. But...
Yeah, I cry too.
But Bol Bol had a pretty big hand in that win.
He is of massive size. He's like that other player, Taco Fall, 7'6 for UCF. These players are humongous. Like, I don't...
What do they feed them?
I can just imagine this. What the struggle it must be to be like just a regular basketball height to play these guys. Like, oh my god.
The Bol family reunion is like...
Stick men. All right. We've talked a little bit about the players that are going to be playing, some big names that we're going to see in the NCAA. Let's switch gears to some major upsets. Joey, we've seen some upsets with the first round of March Madness. Do you foresee any other major upsets happening in the tournament? Maybe just highlight three or a couple of upsets you might see. Yes, for the next round, or even if you see in the future, if you can predict in the future who might play against each other.
Let me see. I'm just going to see who's left here. I think that... I'm not sure how big of an upset, but Villanova is the champion from last year, and they're 6th seed. I feel like they can knock off Purdue, even though I think Purdue is seeded a little high. I think Purdue could have been
seeded 3.
Yeah, I think they could have been a 4 or 5, but I think Villanova can knock them off.
Ooh, interesting.
There is a very exciting game because what are we? We're in the round of 32, and then we'll have the Sweet 16 coming up next. So there's a game between Oregon and UC Irvine. Oregon upset Wisconsin, so they're 12th seed. UC Irvine was 13th seed and beat Kansas State. So now we have a 12th seed and a 13th seed facing off, and one of them is guaranteed to get to the Sweet 16, which is awesome.
Isn't that crazy, though? Because, those are two major upsets that happened right there. They're right beside each other, and then they have to play each other.
That is going to be amazing. I actually think that Wofford has been playing so well all year. I think they could beat Kentucky. That would be an insane upset.
I was very surprised when I saw the score with Wofford and Seton Hall Just because I know Wofford plays in another conference that I assumed I take some of my data when I'm choosing my brackets on past games and who they play against. So it's very difficult to gauge how well a team does because they're playing within a different conference.
Yeah, they play very few out of conference games, but they crushed Seton Hall. They looked very confident, so I expect them to continue that. They're riding the high right now.
The Terriers, right? The Wofford Terriers, I think it's called?
I think that's them.
So if you're listening, Wofford Terriers, keep going. And we're expecting big things from you, all right?
Ball is Life podcast is rooting for you. Do you see any potential upsets?
Do I see any potential upsets? Let's see what I have on my bracket right now. Ooh, okay. So potential upset that I have, I've set up on my bracket. Obviously, Texas Tech has beaten North Kentucky, which was kind of expected, and Buffalo beat Arizona. So now Buffalo, a sixth seed, will play a third seed, which is Texas Tech. But I've heard a lot of good things about Buffalo and the way that they're playing. So I expect Buffalo is actually going to win that game.
That would be awesome.
I actually,
a couple years ago, I went to see Buffalo play. I think they played kind of a middle of the pack team, and they got absolutely smashed. Like, Buffalo was garbage. That was probably like 2 or 3 years ago. So it's really surprising to see them this good now. I didn't expect that.
It's making me quite excited for this. I'm really hoping for them to do good things. So they're kind of my biggest upset. I don't know if I have any other upsets. I would agree with you, Villanova and Purdue. I think Villanova has a chance. I think that they're able, that they can go forward. They could do it. For my third upset, I would say Virginia won against their 16th seed, Gardner Webb. And now Mississippi is playing, Mississippi played Oklahoma and Mississippi won. Oklahoma won, sorry. And Oklahoma's a 9th seed. I have a feeling that Oklahoma could beat Virginia.
Virginia's the choke squad.
I have Virginia going to the finals and playing Duke, but just getting a gauge of how they played last night, how they were down by quite a bit in the last, and they had to kind of like, it was an uphill battle for them. So they're pretty tired now.
Virginia,
I have
you mean?
A feeling that they're not going to do well. Yes, Virginia.
If you see how dominant Duke was and how dominant Gonzaga was, and I didn't hear anything about the other, but the North Carolina game, but they won by 15 as well.
Yes, like, yeah, they did well.
It's not a very good first showing from Virginia right off the bat, like struggling that much against a 16 seed, and they lost to a 16 seed last year, so they have the Virginia curse.
And I think they're in a little bit in their heads with that as well, that they're kind of like, oh, we could lose this. Like, we've done it before.
Yeah, they probably are, honestly.
Oh, man. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to them. All right, we're going to go into a little break here into our ad read. Joey, as you know, we don't get a lot of sponsors or anything like that. So I thought it'd be a good idea, since we have no sponsors, that we decide to sponsor ourselves and promote the podcast a little bit more.
Oh, good idea. So,
this podcast is unofficially brought to you by Google Play Music and Spotify. Joey, you love to listen to music, right?
I love to listen to music.
What type of artists do you listen to, or what type of music are you into?
I'm into just about everything, as long as it's not country music.
As long as it's not country. I know you're a big fan of Muse, right?
Oh, I love Muse.
All right. And on another note, you also like to keep up to date with your favorite podcasts, like Vox Explained Today, Pod Save America, and of course, the Ball is Life show. And who could forget the Holes Are Holes show that we have, just naming a few.
Oh, that's a classic.
But did you know that you can catch these podcasts on your favorite music streaming sites / apps? That's right. The Holes Are Holes show and the Ball is Life podcast are finally on Google Play Music and Spotify. So now you can hear our most recent episodes on your favorite audio streaming services like Google Play Music and Spotify. Check them out today. All right, let's get back into the groove of things. So, Joey, what is your prediction for the Final Four? We've kind of hinted at it a little bit. I want to know, real is real, steel. What is it?
Well, oops, 1 second. I closed my fantasy bracket. Let me just reopen that.
Open it up again?
Yep.
I bring my fantasy bracket wherever I go so that I can explain to unknowledgeable patrons about the magic of March.
Now, unfortunately, I believe in my Final Four, I was very foolish, and I thought I would choose an upset, like a, kind of an underdog to get into the Final Four, and that team was Kansas State. Kansas State has been knocked out in the first round, so...
Immediately, Gonzo.
Gonzo Garbanzo. Originally, I had my Final Four as Michigan State, LSU. Oh, shoot. My Final Four was Duke, Gonzaga, Kansas State, and North Carolina. So I had three of the number one seeds and then Kansas State.
Mine is very similar, too. I have Duke, Gonzaga, Virginia, and then North Carolina. But yeah, you're saying...
That makes sense. Oh, you have all four number one seeds?
Yes, but I don't think Virginia is going to make it. I have a feeling that whoever wins out of Villanova and Purdue, that team is going to make it. I've seen Tennessee. They're not doing so hot either. Their last game against Colgate, they were down, I think, at the fr- no, they weren't down. They were just, it was just too close of a match.
Yeah.
And Colgate really stepped it up. That Burns point guard guy, man, he lit it.
Oh, yeah. I really expected Tennessee to go far as well, actually.
It's hard to gauge as well, right? Because like I'm also expecting that they're getting tired from playing like very close games, and it's very straining on the team.
That is true, but everybody's in the same boat. So everybody's going to be playing tight games down the stretch, and they're all going to be pretty exhausted by the end of it all.
That is very true. Very true.
By the last week, they'll have like a week break, I think, next week. So, for the finals and everything, and Final Four, I think, is next week.
They could take a mini vacation, go to Florida or something, right?
Yeah, that's right. They'll have plenty of time to chill and relax. Actually, yeah. I see now, looking at my bracket, I had Liberty beating Virginia Tech, and I have Oklahoma beating Virginia. I don't like Virginia very much.
What? Oh my goodness. That is quite an upset. You have Liberty beating Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
That is Liberty, insane.
Liberty beating Virginia Tech.
Oh my goodness.
One guy on Liberty I really like, and he's like, I want to look at their roster. He's just like a chunky monkey. He's a really thick boy.
I love the, like, see, like, you can see more average people, because not all these guys are going to go to the NBA or become superstars, right? And so I really like looking at, like, those guys who really grind it out.
Yeah.
But there's some guys that have, like, some really crazy body types out
there. I know. This guy's my favorite. I think his name is Myo Baxter Bell. M-Y-O Baxter Bell.
Baxter Bell. Baxter Bell, if you're listening to the podcast... You're thick with three C's. We know you can make it, buddy. Final four. Straight to the Final Four with you.
Well, I don't have them in the Final Four, but I have them winning their next game anyways, upsetting Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever it was.
Because then they're going to have to play Duke, obviously. Thick Duke with all the C's.
But maybe that's somebody that can guard Zion when they have thick boy.
Oh, that's a very good point. That would be very interesting. Another thick boy against Zion. I'm also very curious to see UCF play Duke, just because Taco Fall is 7'6", like we've said before.
Yeah, that's very true. That's and a good point, because Duke gets a majority of their points inside, right?
And rebounds as well, right?
Mm, yeah, definitely.
So this guy might kind of throw a wrench into things. And he's also around, like, I think he's 300 pounds as well. So I think he's around Zion's weight.
Oh.
But his weight is displaced, obviously, from his height.
Yes, that's very correct. Not as low of a center of gravity.
All you physicists out there, don't write down in the comments that I'm wrong with this. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I would like to see that, actually. I think if UCF plays, if they can not commit turnovers and, like, run a real half-court game, they probably have the best chance. Otherwise, Duke's just going to outrun them, and Taco Fall is never going to be able to keep up. But if they, like, use him as a defensive anchor and just keep him inside and congest the paint, maybe play a zone or something because they don't shoot the three ball very well. Yeah, maybe Taco Fall can stop the Zion and RJ Barrett drives.
Yeah, I think that would be very interesting to see, like, how they incorporate him. It's the best way that they incorporate him in their plays and the pace of the game, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
And whoever wins that, I think Michigan has a good chance to make it to the sweet to the eight round. The best, like, when there's eight teams left,
the elite eight,
that's what it's called. Thank you. So it'll be interesting to see who kind of makes it in there. I have a feeling that it might be Duke, but that would also be a very interesting matchup if that does happen. Mm-hmm. Michigan versus Michigan State versus Duke.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to see that as well for, like, the West elite eight with Gonzaga playing Michigan. Like, I think Michigan is playing all right as well.
Oh yeah, Michigan's playing really well.
Yeah, it's interesting because they've... Oh, yeah, you were saying, sorry?
Oh, I was going to say it would be really amazing if they would both end up in the Final Four together. Michigan State versus Michigan.
And Michigan State.
That'd be so hype.
No, but I would know who would win that, though, because of the three games that Michigan State and Michigan have played, Michigan State has won every one of those games. Wow. And two of those games, I'm pretty sure, were at home for Michigan.
Really?
So Michigan State was away, yes. Michigan State just... And they always lose... Like, they're always losing at half, and they always come back for some reason. It's so strange. It's the same game over and over again.
Oh, really? That's funny. I want to see their standings, and I want to see how they did in the season. Mm-hmm. And losses Michigan had. Like, the non-Michigan State one?
The non-Michigan State? How many losses?
They were 20-6, so they got half their losses for Michigan State.
That is actually so funny. Are you serious? Yeah. That's insane.
Depressing for them.
Oh my goodness. Oh my god. Yeah, so I that would be very interesting to see them. I'd like to see Michigan do really well. I'd also like to see Houston do really well as well.
Houston.
They're a third seed. Yes.
And yeah. Yeah, Houston's looking really good. They have the most wins in the country this year in regular season.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
31 or something.
Oh, wow. Good for them.
Yeah, they're looking really strong.
They've been killing it. So I'm hoping that they do well. They were seeded a little bit lower in the third seed, but I think that they're also a powerhouse that people kind of forget there. Yeah.
They're in a conference where they don't play... What conference is Houston in? I don't think they play as many powerhouse teams. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they were 32-3 during the season. But
oh, that's really good. But they weren't playing, like... they weren't playing big teams like Michigan State, Duke, Yale.
Yeah. They were in the AAC.
The AC, so it's always so difficult when these teams play like other teams that you're like, I can't really gauge how well you're actually doing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that much about those other teams.
They have UCF in their conference, Wichita State, UConn, Tulane, Temple, Memphis, Cincinnati. But none of these teams did very well this year except UCF. So... They didn't have a very competitive conference, which is why... Actually, Cincinnati did really well, too. But
yeah, but I thought Temple usually does pretty well, and UConn is almost always on top, but that's pretty strange for them.
UConn was. They were 6-12 this year in conference, and Tulane was 0-18. Mm. Wow, that feels bad.
Oh, my goodness, that would hurt.
4-27 right, outside of conference.
Ooh, ouchie, wawa. All right. So let's talk about some stuff that are a little bit outside of March Madness that we're looking at. So the atmosphere of the tournament, Joey, I want to talk a little bit about that as we're kind of wrapping things up here. The cheerleaders, the band, the announcers and the commentators. What do you like about it? What could you go without? Let's hear your opinion on it, like the atmosphere of the stadium.
Well, the atmosphere is amazing. All the fans are student. Well, they're not even all students. Like, college basketball is so so huge in the States that you get, I don't know, whatever fans happen to be in that region, they just become absolute diehards. And I love the fact that all the fans that, like, paint their faces and paint their bodies and cheer constantly.
Oh, yeah.
In the actual, like, March Madness won't be as, like, organized, the cheering and stuff. But at actual college games in the States, like, sometimes they'll have cheer sheets and they'll hand them out to everybody on the way in. Like, the students will make cheer sheets so everybody knows when to do certain cheers, and some of them will be, like, ridiculously offensive to the other
team. Oh, no!
Or they'll have, like, trash talk cheers and stuff like that. This all really coordinates. They get the whole stadium doing it. But as far as the March Madness goes, it's a much more positive cheering environment, because a lot of the people, when they go to these games, they're not, like, you basically go to the arena and there's two games being played there that night, so you just watch both games, so you don't necessarily have an invested fan in every single game. So if there's an underdog, anybody who's not an invested fan in that team will automatically cheer for the underdog, so the underdogs get super hyped up in all these games.
Yeah, I enjoy that quite a bit. You're right. That changes it a little bit, because you're kind of staying for those two games. So yeah, you do get that, where you can kind of cheer for the underdog a little bit more. That is true, because, like, in NBA games, it's just one game, right?
Oh yeah.
What do you think? For me personally, I love the idea of, like, the big bands playing after, like, when there's wins or halftime and stuff like that. I find that extremely fun.
Yeah, that really adds the atmosphere.
The commentators, they get, like, crazy commentators that were alumni from there before, or, like, professional basketball players, or past professional basketball players.
Dick Vitale.
But one thing exactly. But one thing that I'm kind of, like, I guess I'm over and I kind of want to see less of is, like, cheerleaders. The last game that I saw, I think it was the Duke game, but one of the kids from North Dakota went down. Like, he, like, obviously when you drive, you kind of throw your body a little bit sometimes. And he went, like, sliding into the cheerleaders, and they all, like, palmed him up. Like, they were all, like, spinning their pom-poms on him. I'm like, why are cheerleaders still in the NCAA? Like they were literally, like... I would have been so mad if I was that player. Like, they were kind of, like, brushing him up. Like, they didn't help him up, though.
I don't know if they'd be able to. I can see that. They're just, if they can, like, put them further back, maybe. I don't know. Same with having, well, in the NBA, they always have the cameramen sitting right there. And it's so dangerous sometimes. It should just move people back.
Yeah, I don't mind it when, like, they're doing the halftime stuff and stuff like that, but I find like it's slightly distracting to have cameramen or cheerleaders sometimes do their thing when, like, people are scoring and stuff like that. Like, fans already go wild when, like, there's an upset, like when the score changes from somebody was in the lead to the other team is in the lead. So, like, your cheerleaders are essentially your fans. But yeah, it was a really distracting, because I'm like, what if a player goes flying into, like, the cheerleaders? Like, he could kill, like, a little girl.
Yeah, it should probably explode.
Like Zion Williamson's shoe. but yeah, that's just kind of my opinion on it. I do love it a lot more. I love the idea of having bands there to just kind of play, like, these little things during timeouts, and I think that adds a little bit more, I don't know, like a different type of enthusiasm to the entire game.
Yeah, it really does. And when the drum beats get going, that's my favorite part.
Oh yeah, those are great. I love it as well when the trumpets go, like, back and forth and they kind of do, like, little dances and spins. Yeah. And they, like, hit their drumsticks together and stuff. Like, they do these little, like, cool, like, I don't know, like little dances with their instruments too, which is also interesting.
Yeah, they're definitely entertaining. Way more entertaining than the cheerleaders, I'd argue.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go into a kind of a controversial topic. I didn't want to spring this up on you too much, Joey. So if you don't want to answer too much, that's fine. But just in terms of like the NCAA has been known to kind of be in a little bit in the shady side in terms of like not paying their players. So Joey, do you have like an opinion in terms of like NCAA players being paid within the league, or what do you think about that?
Well, personally, I don't like it that much. Like, if you're gonna offer scholarships, I
Yes.
understand because you are there for school. Like, I know a lot of these players are just going for the like
For the
transition
sport.
to the NBA, and those players probably
Yeah.
want to be paid, but a lot of them are going to school as well. I think that should still not be forgotten. And the main issue I have with that is the fact that these bigger schools are getting like Duke, Kentucky, Louisville. They're the ones who are going to be getting every single good player because they're the ones that are going to pay the most money. So obviously the best players are going to want to go there. And it just keeps all of the other schools out of contention because they don't have any big ticket names. Like you could have the best scouts in the nation in a small school, but if you don't have the money to pay the players, then you're not gonna, nobody's gonna come to your school. So just to avoid having the same like 10 teams every single year win everything, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah,
But
of paying
I'm not
paying
sure.
players in the NCAA.
I'm not really sure because I've never really heard anything about like I don't understand how student athletes would get paid. I didn't think that was legal.
That was kind of like the whole controversy that like student athletes don't get paid. I personally I think students should be paid. I don't think that they should be paid based off of like how well they do on the court or how well, because it's a lot of pressure in the environment that they're playing in. I think it should be kind of like an army thing. You sign up for the army, you all get paid kind of like a base rate. Some people in the army do better than others, right? So they help each other out. And it's like it's a team mentality. But I just don't
That would
like the
be.
fact that like some players get hurt, right? And then they lose their scholarship, and sometimes they were studying stuff that doesn't really like couldn't help them. So I don't like it when like little guys that who are not going to go into the NBA, because you're right, it's not also not fair that these big teams just keep acquiring big players and they just kind of cycle through just the top four team or top 10, I guess, of like which school am I going to go to? These are the top 10. I'm not even going to consider the other ones, right? So I would like it to be a little bit more fair. And just give the opportunity to the people that just don't go professional.
If they could mandate it like that, so there would be like a base that every single school has to pay, that would be perfect. I think that'd be a great solution because then everybody's on the same in the same boat and everybody's getting some kind of extra money on the side to survive if something goes wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe even have like some compensation to those little guys that do get injured, like for that. Maybe even set aside like a little I don't know, like a little program to say like we have this money for you. You have a full ride scholarship to one program of your choice and stuff. And maybe they could switch to something that would, you know, they could switch careers because obviously they wanted to go into a basketball
Yeah, for
career.
sure.
Switch into like, yeah. I would like
Massage
to see the
therapy or
NCAA
nursing, something like
massage therapy,
that.
yes. The transition from basketball player to massage therapist, yes. It's a hard one. It's a hard one. But yeah, I do enjoy watching March Madness. I couldn't say don't watch it. I just hope that the guys up top would make a little bit better decisions in line with the students, just to help those guys out a little bit. But yeah, Joey, any final thoughts on March Madness? Are you excited for anything in particular?
I'm excited for all of the high seed, low seed games, like all the potential upset games. I cannot wait
Yes.
for those.
Also, I just remembered we talked about at the beginning of the show that we had a bracket formed. So if you'd like to see my bracket picks or Joey's bracket picks and kind of follow us along with March Madness, I think this episode will come out before the finals, the final four. You guys can check out the link that I'll put in the description below. So, Joey, do you want to explain any of your crazy picks before anybody sees them, or?
I don't like to talk about it.
Okay, not, so we're just going to refrain. So yeah, so don't worry about that, guys, if there's any crazy picks that are in there. They don't mean anything. And yeah, hopefully we can do this next year as well. I sent out a tweet that you guys could join our bracket challenge if next year, if that interests you some more. We're going to try to do that again. Isn't that right, Joe?
That is darn straight.
Well, Joey, I want to thank you again for being our resident college basketball expert. I want to thank you for coming here today. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to give to the people?
All I would like to say is have a wonderful day. Enjoy the tournament. And don't forget to check out the Holds or Holds show on Google Play.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Joe. All I have to say is Zion Williamson for Emperor. And we'll see you on the next one, guys. Thank you so much, and let your march be mad. Bye! Hi, guys. If you're still listening to this, I just want to add in a couple more details to the show. First is an update. Joey and I are really excited, but Jimmer Fredette has just signed a 2-year contract with the Suns and will be playing back in the NBA now. The second is a correction. And that is Boban Marjanovic is actually the heaviest player, and it is not Jokic. All right, thanks, guys, and ball out.